Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. In today's show, the racehorses and the iron horses. We'll meet the folks who find new homes for retired racing horses. And since this is also the season when motorcyclists do most of their riding, a Ball State professor with a new book out about his 23,000-mile ride completely around the country. How do you stay in the saddle for that long? First, though, a new thoroughbred horse racing season means a busy time for a dedicated group of Indiana folks with an unusual mission. The Friends of Ferdinand try to find homes for retired racehorses. Many thoroughbreds are finished racing by the time they're 5 years old, but they can live to be 30. A group called Friends of Ferdinand, named for a racehorse that wasn't cared for after his career, retrains these animals and finds them new homes. The first stop for a racehorse leaving the track like Hoosier Park and Anderson is often at the home of a volunteer foster owner. In Madison County the other day, we met foster horse parent Diana Cooper, who had just gotten a retired horse named Virgil and was ready to help retrain him for adoption.
Come on, guys! We're in Anderson, pretty close to Pendleton. That's I-69, so it's a mix of country out here. We have horses next door to us and some cornfields and stuff around us, which are really nice. The horses have been out all day. They get great turnout, helps keep them pretty calm. And so these two guys are waiting to come in for dinner, so they should be pretty eager to come on up. Usually I'll turn on the light and they just come out. Dorothy! Come here. You know, one of our goals sometimes on the weekend is just to be able to stay on the farm and kind of get away from everything and take care of the horses, spend our time out here. There's always work on a farm, so whether it's riding or the projects and maintenance, so mowing. Pretty full-time job in addition to our full-time jobs, but we make it all work and get up early, even though we're not quite early people like farmers are supposed to be, and do what we got to do to keep everyone going. Come here, buddy. Why aren't you calling for your girl?
What kind of horse is
this? This is a Belgian warm blood. He's a much bigger boned boy.
He's a big horse.
Yeah, he is. He's kind of built like a draft horse. You can definitely get some perspective between him and Virgil, the foster horse that we have right now. So my husband wasn't a horse person, and I have a decent sized horse too, and I've had this one, the two here right now for a while, and we got Virgil, and he's like, oh, he's so cute and little. Definitely a little bit of a size difference. Thoroughbreds are all tend to be a lot more fine-boned. And this guy's particularly narrow, kind of in the shoulder, just a very slender thoroughbred. So definitely a big difference in thoroughbreds versus your quarter horses or warm bloods like we have here. It's just part of our life now, and wouldn't be happy any other way. And helping out these foster horses is very rewarding too. I'm glad that, you know, I have a lot of experience, and I enjoy a project, and I enjoy some of the peppier horses, and they tend to come off the track that way. But I'm able to work with them to get them, hopefully, so that, you know, a lot larger audience can ride them and that they have a better future once they leave me. So that's my goal with working with all the different fosters. And, you know, some of them have different futures. I've had them go off to be hunter jumper. I've had them go off to be, you know, a lady's horse to learn, you know, to ride on a little bit more, in a variety of different areas. So we never know, you know, what their expertise will be. Some of them are able to have jumping careers or different longevity of careers based on, you know, their racing history or just how hard they've been worked or how old they are, how many years they raced. So get a variety for sure. The last foster we had actually was a big stakes winner, and he got a forever retirement home with another organization. So lots of different stories. So just bringing him in, and he was intrigued by our neighbor's horses. I think he was kind of looking over there. So just letting him be a horse, chill out. So this is Highlander, a friend of mine's horse. And he's a baby too. He's about the age of Virgil. So they make a good pair out there together, young and spunky out playing together. He's a little bit more of the boss. Size might have something to do with that, but he's a big, playful guy. He's got a toy in his stall, and half the time I come out, and it's he throws it out of his stall. And so just like people, when they're young, they're playful, and he's very, very happy, but pretty easygoing, really. You know, the thoroughbreds tend to be a lot more spirited in general, and his breeding is a little bit more working and a little bit slower. But, you know, I would say I had a very stereotypical thoroughbred. Mine was super spirited and just never wanted to stop. And I loved it. But, and that's what I expected them all to be coming off the track. But we really do get some that are just sweethearts and can be really pretty laid back. They still might take an experienced rider or hand, but there's definitely a variety, just like people.
That's Diana Cooper of Madison County with the group Friends of Ferdinand.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Hi, John Strauss here. I have to tell you something. When I'm out doing these stories for Indiana Weekend, I love going to local landmarks. The kind of place that when you get to town or you mention you're going there, they say, "Hey, you've got to go to this place." In Evansville, they'll tell you about Wolf's Barbecue, or over in Owensboro, Kentucky, across the river, the Moonlight, or down in the river bottoms, the Dogtown Tavern. Usually these places have some kind of great name like that. You know, I love the steaks at the Red Dog Saloon in North Salem, west of Indy. Up north, just across the border in New Buffalo, Michigan, everybody knows Redimax. So I'm always on the lookout for some place I've never been before, and the other night, I was driving through Pendleton, and you know, I've never been to Jimmy's, the dairy bar with the sign that says, "Best Barbecue in Indiana." I was hungry, went in, talked to the lady behind the counter and said, "Is this really the best barbecue in Indiana?" She said, "That's what they say. Been open here since 1954. Well, they must be doing something right, and sure enough, there was a great barbecue sandwich, a nice tangy sauce, tender pulled pork. Just great. The best in Indiana? Can't say for sure, but it does sound like a pretty good research project. Try to find the best barbecue in Indiana and the best local places with local character. If you've got a spot to check out, hit us at Indiana Weekend on Facebook or drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, I'll keep looking and I'll let you know how it goes. Sure, I know it's a tough job, but hey, somebody's got to do it.
You're listening to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
A Ball State University professor with an unusual hobby has written a book about his experience last summer. Alan LeDuc rode his motorcycle 23,000 miles in 48 days, circumnavigating the United States and Canada, from Key West, Florida, to Prudhoe Bay in Alaska, and all the way around back again. His book is called Passion in the Wind, and it's the story not only of an extreme motorcycle ride, but the philosophy it takes to set an enormous goal and reach it.
My name's Alan LeDuc. I live in Newcastle, Indiana. I worked for about 20 years as a professional. I was actually an executive and vice president and general manager of a manufacturing company. 20 years ago, I came to Ball State to teach in manufacturing engineering technology. And I ended up losing a kidney to cancer at age 42 in 1992. After that, I was going through the tenure process, which is pretty rigorous. And once I got through tenure, I was like, wow, I need to find some balance in my life. I'd always been a workaholic and was looking to, you know, kind of even out my life a little bit. And I remembered having a motorcycle when I was a kid. And so when the day I, the year I was turning 50, I called my wife in May and I said, I'm going to go buy a motorcycle today. And I was like probably most people, thinking I'll ride it around the neighborhood. And that's really what I did. And then I was planning a vacation to Florida and decided that I was going to ride my motorcycle, just kind of leisurely. And somebody posted on one of the internet forums about the Iron Butt Association. And said, hey, they certify this ride that you ride 1,000 miles in 24 hours. Well, it's about 1,000 miles to Florida. And so I'm thinking, well, I could get a little extra day of vacation if I did that. And so the next thing I know, I'm on a Honda Shadow Spirit 1200, a cruiser-type bike, taking a Saddle Sore 1000 Iron Butt ride to Florida. And then when I got back, it was like, riding around town wasn't the same anymore. And it literally changed my life.
What do you think about when you're riding? Because you're not using CB radios and things like that.
You know, one of the things that happens is people say, wow, you know, on this, let's say you're doing 1,000 miles in one day. And people say, well, that's, you can't enjoy that. You know, what do you see? You're going so fast. Well, first of all, we don't really ride that fast. Do we break the speed limit? Probably. Most people that drive on the interstate break the speed limit. But you can't ride at extreme speeds without being fatigued. And so there's a price to pay for that. So we typically do not ride crazy like people think we do. You know, if we did, we wouldn't be making it to our destination. First of all, if we get stopped, that's the critical thing. You know, the way we make time is when we stop for gas, it's like a NASCAR stop. 4-6 minutes. That's it. We eat on our bikes. We drink on our bikes. We don't stop. You know, the way we make time is we just keep the wheels moving, not by speeding. And so, you know, that's part of that issue. But, you know, then when you do a long trip like this, they're saying, wow, you did that. You know, you did that in 48 days. You know, how can you enjoy that? Well, I think when people read the book and they see all of the places we visit, how many of those places were most people going to visit in a lifetime? You know, I did that in 48 days. Since I've started riding motorcycles, when I'm talking to friends and they'll say, well, you know, and they're talking about some place, I've probably been there. I've ridden all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, and so I've probably been to almost every place that anybody's ever been by motorcycle. And then when you break it down to the simplest level, just motorcycles, you know, people that say, well, you know, in a car, you know, I can sit back and enjoy. You know, I sit back, you know, we, like we said, that's the most comfortable place we can be. And what you don't get in a car that you get on a motorcycle, you know, when I go by a feedlot in Kansas, I smell the feedlot. When I ride through the swamp in Louisiana, I smell the dampness. If I go through a little valley, I can feel the temperature change. And so you have other senses that get involved that makes it far more superior, I think, than riding in a car.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Here's John Strauss.
We visited Diana Cooper's horse farm near Anderson because she's a volunteer with Friends of Ferdinand, a group that helps find new homes for retired racehorses. Indiana has two horse tracks, and something like 150 horses a year retire from racing. Diana and her husband help the horses find new homes, and when I visited the other night, they had just that week gotten a new foster thoroughbred named Virgil. We were in the barn feeding Virgil, and she started talking about the day he arrived.
Well, he hasn't been here too long, and it's been so unseasonably warm. I was able to go out and take off his blanket, and he just went down, of course, in the mud, and rolled and rolled and rolled, and then he went up. I have a little hill out there, and went up on the top of the hill and was like little black beauty and was striking in the air, and then it was just so funny because he was just all happy and free. So they've definitely got personalities and enjoy their free play time. It's always quite a sight the first day when you get them and turning them out. They just let loose. It's sometimes a little nerve-wracking for the horse and making sure he sticks around, but they always have. So, you know, this guy, when he first went out, just ran and ran and ran and ran. Some of them don't even know what to do. They'll just go out and be like, wait a second, where am I? But they learn for sure. So, you know, some of them aren't used to turnout. Some of them haven't interacted with other horses. So it can be a change for them in many ways.
Does he think I'm like offering him something? You think
he could?
it's thinks my microphone is something neat.
It's a bit past dinner time.
He likes a recorder. Wheezy.
Yeah. This guy has been in work, so he'll go back pretty soon. But still, just letting him adjust to his new life here, and me getting to know him on the ground before I jump on him too. So. He's 5 years old. I think he's officially black, I'm going to say. Cute little guy. And very, very petite, like I said, kind of fine-boned. And he has a good, clean bill of health for a good future. So needs some good hours under the saddle, and we'll see what we can make of him. This is our cross-site area where I get them tacked up or just take care of them, play with them, whatever's on the agenda for the day.
Most folks who are not horse people, maybe their experience is riding a saddle horse on a trail or something like that. Mm-hmm. How are racehorses different from the horses that we've seen?
Well, definitely at first, they're very different. They're kind of wired differently. All they know is racing and go, and pulling on the reins to most of us would mean stop, and some racehorses that'll even mean go. So there's a lot of retraining that can happen. Again, it depends. If you're bringing them straight off the track, they might have raced in that last week, and that's definitely what they know and what they're used to. So a lot for them to learn and just kind of adjust.
Why might a seasoned horse person like to own a retired racehorse?
I love it. I think, it's a good opportunity to give them a second chance. I like their personalities. I like their typical speed. But like I said, I've been impressed. We have adopted out quite a few that are more, relaxed and just pretty versatile. And they are an affordable option. You know, a lot of people go overseas and get really expensive horses imported and all this and that. And I think a good American thoroughbred can take you pretty far, even in the show rings here. So, you got to look, and not all of them are built for that, but there are definitely a lot of good horses here that you can get retrained and give them that chance.
He is stepping down on that heel a lot better.
Good. My name is Sarah Busbus, and I am president of Friends of Ferdinand. And Friends of Ferdinand is an Indianapolis-based nonprofit organization that works with our racetracks here in Indiana, Hoosier Park and Indiana Downs. And we work to network those horses when their race careers are over then we work to find them new careers.
I don't know anything about horses.
Uh-huh.
I think they're real neat, though. If I had a horse, it'd probably be like a pet. You know?
Virgil,
I mean,
likes you, I think.
Well, we're buddies. So, you know, I don't know anything about horses. What am I seeing here?
You're seeing a five-year-old horse that's actually quite relaxed, and he's quite happy, and he's actually enjoying everybody giving him attention. He's kind of a typical five-year-old thoroughbred, so he's not here sleeping. I mean, he's interested, he's alert, he's moving around a little bit, but he's still quite mannerly and gentlemanly about it.
As we're talking, this horse is nuzzling me. What is he saying?
It's dinner time.
Oh, it's dinner. Oh, we're home. It's dinner time. We're only about, okay. All right. Well, why don't I let you do that? I'm sorry, fella. I didn't want to. I am in the
he
way of your dinner.
He appreciates your shoulder, too, though.
Yeah. I thought he liked me.
He does like. I mean, we've had unseasonably warm weather, so they're all starting to shed a little bit. They get a little itchy and scratchy, and so they, when they see us come along, they always like to kind of like, here, come here, let me itch on you, let me rub on you a little.
Diana Cooper and Sarah Busbus, volunteers with Friends of Ferdinand, a group that finds homes for retired racehorses. If you'd like to comment on what you've heard or need more information, look up our show on Facebook by searching for the group called Indiana Weekend. You can also write to us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Okay, music fans, I'm thinking of a famous Indiana composer. His songs have been recorded by Fred Astaire, Frank Sinatra, Dionne Warwick, even Ringo Starr, and this band. Well, we'll get to them in a minute. This is a cover of one of our Hoosier composer's most famous numbers, originally written in 1932. Come to think of it, see if this sounds familiar. The first big hit for this song, performed here by someone better known for his dancing.
Like the beat of the tom-tom.
Our composer, a true Indiana original, was born June 9th, 1891. You know who we're talking about, right? That's it, the great Cole Porter. Where was he born? You got it, in Peru, Indiana. And this song, you know the title, that's right, it's called Night and Day. And the singer in this 1934 recording is Fred Astaire. How about this version?
Day and night. Why is it so?
This, my friends, is U2, the Irish group from Dublin, you know, Bono, covering Cole Porter nearly six decades later in 1990. An Indiana original, Cole Porter, on Indiana Weekend. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information or have a suggestion. Reminder that we also need your stories, your ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss is produced by Indiana Public Radio at Ball State University. Tune in again next week at the same time for more Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.